Welcome to the Infinite Lives and Games podcast. I'm your host, Victor Diaz, also known by my gamer tag as Seth Infinite. To kick off the return of the podcast and starting off season two, we have a very enthusiastic and splendid scholar by the name of Nick Eichelberry. Born and raised in Hartville, Ohio, 32 years old, he has a blog website called Game Over Gimmicks. Game Over Gimmicks is primarily focused on professional wrestling right now, but will soon feature his other favorite topic of gaming. By the way, I love the title, and I've checked it out myself. Would highly recommend if you are into or thinking about getting back into modern professional wrestling. Season 2 here on the podcast will start off with actually a whole game series, and one that a lot of people might be familiar with, Mass Effect. Developed by BioWare and published by EA, Electronic Arts, the Mass Effect series is a third-person shooter game with role-playing elements. It is a science fiction media franchise, with the first game originally releasing in November 20th, 2007. Mass Effect 2 came out in 2008, and Mass Effect 3 in 2012. Mass Effect Andromeda released in March 2017, and finally, Mass Effect Legendary Edition, which is a compilation of the first three Mass Effect games, which we will primarily focus on today. Today's topics include humanity as a whole, racism, and a discussion of good and evil, and how it really is all about understanding where people come from. Now, as always, I'd like to thank my guests for being on the podcast, good sir. I really, really appreciate your time. We're going to get right into it because this episode is long. And as always, I'd like to start off by asking my guests five random questions. So, good sir, are you ready for your random questions?
Absolutely. How's it going?
Good, good. I'm excited to do this episode because I've never played Mass Effect. And you can add that to the list of games I haven't played. And I should get fined for because I haven't played a lot.
My list is very long.
But I'm glad that you played Mass Effect because I'm able to fully experience the game with you. And I'm sure a lot of people will have fond memories and will even be encouraged to play the game, or you might bring out some lessons in here that people might learn from. So
absolutely. I'm thanks for having me.
All right. So as always, we're going to do the five questions, get things going. Number one, when was the last time you gathered with friends or family to play a board game, card game, or video game? And what game was that?
Actually, it was actually much more recently than I thought. It was, just thinking back, it was a couple weekends ago, actually. I had a couple friends over, my wife's friend. We played Mario Party. Mario Party and Mario Kart, yeah.
Oh, that's dope. Which Mario Party?
The newest one, for Switch. My wife's friend's kid, she's like just started getting into like, that's like something that her and I have bonded over is like Mario Kart.
Yeah.
And, you know, she loves coming over here and playing, and, you know, we turn off all like the, being able to fall off so she doesn't like go crazy and get home. But it's really fun to see her just light up when, like, as soon as she walks in, she's like, can we play Mario Kart? Can we play Mario Kart? So her and me and my wife and her friend, we all like sit down and play, and we've been playing Mario Kart, and we're trying to get in her maybe a little bit of Mario Party and stuff.
Let's go. That warms my heart, man.
Oh, it's so great. And that's Nintendo. Nintendo just brings people together.
Absolutely. It's the newest Mario Kart, right? Mario Kart 8
for the Switch. Yeah, it's been out for so long, but like it's just perfect.
It's so good. I originally bought that one for the Wii U. I'm a big Mario Kart guy.
Yeah, it's great. And I haven't played one for years because I've been out since the Switch. I bought a Switch, but I hadn't had a Nintendo console since the GameCube.
Oh wow. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And so it's been a while. And I just love the Switch. It's awesome.
No, it's oh man, we could go into a whole separate podcast about glasses. Oh yeah. What is the longest amount of time you've sat playing games nonstop?
Honestly, like I am kind of ADD when it comes to video games sometimes. So, I mean, back probably in high school, it would have probably been all-nighters. Yeah. But recently, in the last, like, I'd say 10 years, the longest would probably be like 4 or 5 hours.
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely in high school.
Yeah, definitely in high school. I just don't have the energy to do it anymore.
I was going to say the same thing.
Yeah.
We have no energy. We have time. We just got to do other stuff, you know, adulting and stuff.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I can't even remember the last time I played that long. Probably all-nighters, just like you said. But the longest amount of time I can play nowadays, that's even stretching it, is probably like 4 hours. Like, yeah, that's stretching it.
Yeah. I'll get like, you know, a good 3-4 hours on like a Saturday. But exactly. Outside of that, I'm rarely playing more than an hour or two.
Yeah, absolutely. The Switch helps with that because it's portable.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, 3, I personally have to ask, what are your thoughts on wrestling video games? Because you're so into wrestling and stuff. So, have you ever played wrestling games or anything like that?
I have. The best one would be like the old school WrestleMania games on like the Super Nintendo and all those old games. Those 2D ones were really fun, for me at least. Outside of that, I haven't really played much of like the simulation ones that are more like real life.
Yeah.
I don't really care very much, but like those old ones that you can like jump 15 feet in the air, those ones are great.
Yeah. And I'm glad you bring up the Super Nintendo. Not a lot of people talk about those games. No, that's a lie. A lot of people talk about those games. But the wrestling games. I don't hear a lot about the wrestling games specifically. You hear the classics.
Yeah, the most popular one, I believe, is, I want to say, from like the PlayStation 1, Nintendo 64 era of like the No Mercies, I think it's called.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah. And that's like the most popular one, I believe. But I don't think I ever touched it.
There was a series of SmackDown versus Raw. Those were popular in like the early 2000s.
Now that you said that, I did like those a lot.
Those are very, very popular during those. I never played those though. I played one for a GameCube, Day of Reckoning,
yeah.
Something.
Yeah, that sounds familiar.
Yeah, it was just a random one off though.
Yeah, those in that, those SmackDown versus Raws, those were like in the, like, when I really started getting into professional wrestling in the early 2000s, because back in the 90s, like, I was a kid and I really enjoyed watching it, but my mom wasn't a fan. So if I could sneak a peek and watch it, I would, but it wasn't until I started getting into like high school, middle school era where I can just be like, no, I'm just going to watch it. I don't care what she says.
Oh, yeah. Man, it's so crazy. My mom, I don't know, my mom really, really cared. I mean, it was more mature yeah, because I remember there was like random stuff happening, like with more blood and like mud pools or something like that. I don't know. I'm getting off topic.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, the blood was popular back then. We could do an entire another podcast about wrestling.
That would my be love so for
that,
fun.
That company, AEW, is definitely my that's my jam.
Oh, I gotta check them out.
And it's bloody. Yeah, I won't lie, it's bloody. They get bloody. Much more like 90s style.
Yeah, I've seen some things. I've seen like a pizza cutter recently.
That was recently, and the most funny part about that is they lost a Domino's sponsorship because of it.
Oh, really?
Because what happened is that he did that. He cut this guy's head with a pizza cutter, and then literally they cut to commercial, and it was a Domino's commercial.
Oh, my God. they
were not happy about that.
Oh, my. Are commercials set? Because that, like, was that random?
I have no idea.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Crazy. Oh, man.
It's just happy coincidence, maybe.
Yeah, probably. Wow. I got to look into that stuff.
Yeah, it's cool.
All right. Fourth question. What movie have you seen recently that you would recommend?
Oh, I mean, if you're going to say recently, a couple days ago, Suicide Squad.
Oh, you watched Suicide Squad. Okay. How was it?
Oh, I loved it. I'm a big James Gunn nut. I love James Gunn and anything he does. And, you know, it's like a more adult style of Guardians of the Galaxy, pretty much. And that's right up my alley. I love characters. I love all the action. It was the comedy. It was just great.
Oh, so it's like more mature joking around and.
Yeah, it's gory. It's bloody, but it's great. I loved it. It was right up my alley. Yeah, it was great.
Is it better than the other one? In the original? I think it was like in 2000.
I want to say 2016 or something like that. It's way better.
Oh, okay, good, good. I mean, I haven't even watched the original, but I could just skip over that one and watch this one.
Yeah, I don't even know what it's like a sequel, but not a sequel. Like a, they've said it's a reboot? In the same universe. Yeah, it's like a reboot, kind of, but they're using the exact same characters for some people. Like Harley Quinn is the same actress. I think one of the characters is this, like three or four of the characters are the exact same actor, and they're technically the exact same, but it's technically a reboot, technically a sequel. I don't know. They did a weird thing by naming it the exact same thing.
The
one from 2016 is not required viewing, but this one I really enjoyed.
Cool. All right, I like that. I can dig that. All right, so the final question. Do you remember the last game you asked an adult or a parent or your guardian to buy for you and you received as a kid?
Ooh.
You got to go deep in that one.
The first thing that came to mind was, and they probably regretted it, was Grand Theft Auto 3. But, I mean, that one was really more like comedy-ish and not really as adult. I mean, it's Grand Theft Auto. Those things are pretty bad. But mm-hmm. I mean, it wasn't like super realistic. But yeah, that's the first thing that came to mind.
I mean, Grand Theft Auto 3 was fun.
Oh, I love that game. I love that game. I played so much with my friend and all the cheat codes and stuff.
Oh, man, back in the days. Oh, cheat codes.
Grand Theft Auto cheat codes were amazing.
Yeah, get unlimited money. You get the helicopter and all that.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Yeah. I played the original on a computer not too long ago. It felt weird.
Oh yeah, those top down ones are weird.
Yeah. I haven't played Grand Theft Auto in a while. I haven't even played the most recent one, the 5.
When most recent, I think it originally came out in like 2012, 2013 or something like that. But they've just like redone it a couple times and
updated it.
And I just recently played it again. I think I've played it 3 times now. Yeah. I just recently played it again, like during the, like when we were all locked down for like the pandemic when it first started. I was on Game Pass and it had just came to Game Pass, and I was like, well, you know what? I'll just play it again. And it's great. Yeah. You don't have to play it for 150 hours. It's like a 40-50 hour game. It's fun. It's great.
Yeah. No, I don't put it past anyone to play that for hours either. You can get
100%. Yeah. Oh yeah.
How did your gaming experiences start? When was like the first time you played games? What was your first console? Stuff like that.
I believe my first console was a Super Nintendo. But like my I've always been a console guy. Growing up, we weren't well off. We didn't have a lot of money. So like my gaming history is very spotty. Like whatever console I had, you know, I had probably like one or two games. So my like favorite games on the Super Nintendo were like NBA Jam, which was awesome. and then I believe Donkey Kong Country, which I love those Donkey Kong
games.
Nice. Yeah. Those were like my first games, but like I missed. And then I went from the Super Nintendo to the Nintendo 64. And my favorite game, obviously, of all time is Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time.
Oh, let's go.
Yes. Yeah, 100%. But because I only had an N64, I only had a few games there, I missed a lot of like the original PlayStation stuff. I didn't have a PlayStation.
Mm.
So it's kind of spotty. And like within the last like 10 years, I really have been going back and trying to play a lot of like the original old school games. Like I never played Super Mario World. I had a Super Nintendo and I never had it. Right. So I was doing that, and so I went from Nintendo 64 to PlayStation 2, and I played a couple of those games, but like that was like right around the time I was in high school. I started playing sports, and then I really took a big gap from like 2001, 2002 era till about 2007 when I got an Xbox 360, and one of my first games was Mass Effect.
Ooh. All right.
And then that really started with my Xbox love and Xbox 360, and I've just continuously exploded my video game love from Xbox 360 into Xbox One and PS4, and now where it is today. And I honestly pretty sure it all started my love back up with Mass Effect.
Wow, I respect it. I also respect the fact that you're going back to kind of fill in those spots.
Yeah, and that's because like I was like really spotty with it, and like I was always trying to hang out with my friends and doing other things because I never really had a lot of gamer friends as a kid.
Gotcha.
And it wasn't really until I got into high school and we were playing like Call of Duty and doing other things on my Xbox 360 and stuff that I really got back into gaming. And, you know, and then just, you know, seeing what games could be with then Mass Effect, and then it just went from there.
Yeah, I got you. I was kind of the same way too. Could only afford like one system and a couple games. I had the 64, just like you did. And then I went to GameCube, and I didn't really have a PlayStation, yeah. You know? So, it's how it is. And then, like, I respect you going back to the games too, because that's what I've done throughout the years. I bought myself a PlayStation 1, PlayStation 2, and kind of just dabbled in on the stuff that I missed out on that people talk about. And there's a whole list, like we said in the beginning, of games I still have to play.
Yeah, most of my old school history was really just like of the games I didn't have, like 3 or 4 days renting through, you know, Blockbuster and stuff. Like, oh, those are my like little bits and pieces of each game I would play or whatever. So I've like had to fill the pieces in as I've gone on slowly and get ridiculed by people. Oh, you haven't played this. Oh, you haven't played that. Yeah.
I feel the same way, man. Same way. But, you know, it's all the love for the gaming.
Absolutely.
Speaking of which, I can't wait. We should start on Mass Effect because you have such a love for this game series, this game. So how did you even end up with Mass Effect? Did you just buy it randomly? Like, how did you hear about it?
Yeah, I had actually, it was probably, I want to say 6-ish, maybe a year after it actually came out. I didn't even know it existed. I actually had popped up into a GameStop one time. I think it was, I want to say probably I had Christmas money or something or another, like after that. And I just had, it was in a bargain bin. Oh. And it was like, I want to say like $10 probably, like, or something like that. And I just oh, this looks kind of cool. And I probably was there for something completely else. And I just had an extra money. And I just, this looks kind of cool. And I just went home and I put it in. You know, it kind of starts a little interesting. You start off as Commander Shepard. And that's like the main character. You know,
he's in the front cover, right? So it's just him in the front.
It can be a guy or a girl. So it's like, it's just Commander Shepard. It's a unisex name. Everyone just calls you Shepard, regardless of whatever you name yourself.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
So you pretty much you just go in and it gives you like some choices as to what your background wants to be. The backstory, you fill in the backstory, and that kind of goes in, and you'll get like little story beats here and there. As the game goes on, they'll reference back to your past or whatever. But then after you pick your character class, whether you want to like use energy blasts or like hack people or whatever, or you just be like a soldier with a gun. And after you pick that stuff, then the cinematic starts. And that's where it really hooks you, because you just hop in and you just go out into the universe. And the whole hook on Mass Effect is, it's set in like the 22nd century. Humans have gotten out into space and they're find this thing called a mass relay on Mars. And that is something that's like helps with interstellar travel. And you can like visit other parts of the galaxy. And they find that on Mars and they realize that the universe is huge, much bigger than it seems or whatever. You don't realize how huge it is. Yeah. So what happens is after you get into that first mission, they drop you in right into the story. And after you complete that and you really are opened up, wow, this is what games can be. It's just that this discovery, what can I do now? And that's what really hooked me.
You just get dropped off in like a planet or what?
Yeah, you dropped on this planet called Eden Prime. And you don't really know what's so special about this planet until... You know, you're Commander Shepard and one of your squad mates just dies. Like you, one of the people you bring there and you're like, wait, what just happened? Mm-hmm. So then you get to this one part and you touch something that you didn't know you were supposed to touch. And you get like this vision of the future. And you don't know what happens. And then you pass out and you pretty much become the chosen one after that because no one else can see this vision.
Yeah.
After that, it's pretty much telling you, oh, there's these big, bad, sentient beings coming called the Reapers, and no one else believes you, and you have to, like, try to tell people, hey, we need to prepare for this ginormous... Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And you just realize that, oh, this is a lot bigger than I thought.
When was that moment? When was that moment when you realized this game is huge?
It's right at the beginning. So it's like that first mission's like maybe an hour, if that. Oof. And then after that, you know, cinematic happens where you get this vision and you almost die, pretty much. You pass out. And then you can take control of where you want to go. And you, when I tell you can go anywhere, you can go anywhere. Oh. And you have this little, your ship that you can select different planets and you can go through and explore these different planets and they all look different. And the first game really was trying to do something that the technology wasn't there for yet until the second game.
Yeah.
And the second game really, really did a great job at it.
It's funny that you mentioned, you know, back in that day when it's really early, there's not a lot of big, huge open world things. And then you get this one game. I don't remember if it was marketed like really heavily. How did you go about just starting in the world? Like, how, do you remember making your character? What was your character based on? And then like, what did you go do? Did you even just go to the straight to the like the main missions? Because I know, do they display the main missions?
The first game, because I just recently played them all again with the Legendary Edition. Mm-hmm. Now, the weird part about it is that the first game was the biggest one to be remastered. So this Legendary Edition kind of makes them all uniform and like the menus are, you know, the same. So The first game would have been very different in 2007 than the one I just played. So I don't remember how they handle all that.
Gotcha.
But I know for a fact that they'll have like, whenever you're going through, so you know what you're picking or whatever, it has like a priority. So do this as a main mission, and then you can go around and find different side missions after that or you know, before that. But those main missions advance the plot, and some things you can't do after the plot points or whatever. So it's a really cool, you can do different side missions or whatever. You want to do them because if you don't, you might have a bad experience with something you don't want to have happen later in the game.
Because story related or?
Yes, because in Mass Effect, more than any game I have remember before it, I don't think they ever did anything like this before, is these decisions you make, you know, you could lose a teammate. Mm-hmm. And I don't think they ever did anything like that where you lose a teammate and he's gone in the second game.
Oh.
So what? Yeah, those decisions really matter because it's like you do something and it, the decision, like, so you make a decision. Mm-hmm. Like, let's say I decided to do this and this and this. That decision carries over through the next two games. Wow. And they'll reference that decision in the third game.
No way.
With the exact same save file, as long as you import those exact same save files, it remembers what happened in the first game from the third one.
Oh, that's huge.
I don't think anything like that had ever happened before, and I don't know if anything like that has happened since.
Honestly, I can't remember something like that. I will remember some random SKU thing from Nintendo 64 with Banjo-Tooie, but that's as far as I'm getting. And even that wasn't really like carrying from one game to another. So I didn't know that. That's crazy.
Yeah. In the first game, there's like towards, I want to say probably like the 75, maybe 60% point where you could really lose. And I remember in the first time I played this game, because I didn't really have any idea about what made the decisions and what didn't. Mm-hmm. So I'd say 60, 75%, you could lose one of my favorite characters if you didn't do things before that to, you know, adjust it accordingly, and he's gone. He's gone for good if you lose him. It really, you know, it really gives it stakes. And that's my favorite types of, like, stories where it's something that really is impactful and emotional.
Yeah. No, absolutely, because you get fully invested with these guys.
Absolutely. And, yeah, I definitely love, like, a lot of these characters. And so it's like you really want to do everything you can to keep them alive.
All right, hold on. Before we get to the characters, go on to Mass Effect 2, because...
I mean, so it's like the second game, it's really the overhanging story of Mass Effect is these sentient beings called the Reapers, giant robots. And they're like artificial intelligence, kind of. I don't even really know how to describe them, but they every 50,000 years, they come to literally kill everything, all life on planet Earth or in the galaxy, I mean.
Oh, shoot.
So, like, your entirety, that's what the vision you get in the first game is really signifying and trying to tell people that these guys are coming. Mm-hmm. And so the first game, you only meet one of them. And then the second game is where you really get into the nitty gritty, where you start, you know, having more come through, and they have, like, these things called the collectors, where they're trying to literally, like, harvest people, and they're trying to collect actual humans, and they're trying to take their, like, souls and their knowledge and stuff.
Wow.
And so the second game, yeah, is all about it takes what the first game tried to do with a lot of the characters and a lot of the story, and it made that even better. Mm-hmm. And you get introduced to a lot of these different cool characters, and they're, you know, some of them are from the first game and some of them are new in the second one. And you have to do everything in your power to gather up as much resources. And then what you do, it's very famous in Mass Effect. It's called the suicide mission.
Where
in the second game, like, your entirety of the most of the game is prepping yourself for this suicide mission, where you take your ship as upgraded as you can with all of your team members, and you go through this special Mass Effect, and you go and try to take out these collectors, which are like henchmen for the Reapers.
Wow.
And then, yeah, it's a lot of the game is all about, you know, getting to know your characters, doing special stuff for them, getting them prepared and getting them ready, getting, like, all of your people ready to go and getting different things ready to go, and then attacking these like henchmen.
Yeah.
For these big, huge Reapers things.
That sounds huge, and, man. Are these people your friends too?
Yeah, right. No, literally, you really, like, when you go through these three games, like, if you can keep them all live through the second game and then the third game, they really feel like your best friends. And in the third game, there's like this, like, there's this DLC that they added afterwards, and it's like a kind of like a send off, and you really just pretty much 10 hours of just partying with these characters it's really fun. And it's not even really like a game. It's really just like different, like, mini games with your friends, and you really get to know these characters, and it's really cool.
Yeah. So speaking of the characters, I mean, when did you start to, like, really have a bond? Like, can you name a specific character, like, you first started to like?
Characters in the game, like, each one, depending on where you're at, like, there's this one, his name, he's kind of famous. his name is Garrus. His name is Garrus Vakarian. He's what's called a Turian. In the game, you know, because these games are so much lore, there's probably, like, 20 different races in this game.
Jeez.
of different species, and each one have their own backstories and relationships with other species. Because in Mass Effect, what happens is, you know, you're human. As humanity just gets to, you know, figuring out that there's interstellar travel. Mm-hmm. But you find out that there's this entire government of all of these other different species
that have already been doing it.
Have already been, they're a lot further along in their technology.
Oh, okay.
And So there's a lot of different other species out there, and that's kind of like one of the main themes of not to get too far ahead, but main themes of these games is like humanity trying to fit in. But so there's this one race called the Turians, and then there's this one character who's he's like, you know, his name is Garrus Vakarian, and he's like throughout the course of these three games, he pretty much becomes, you know, Shepard's best friend. And you really like, you know, he goes on because you can choose your different squad mates because you get a party of three. And whenever you go do missions, he's always right by my side because he's really strong and he has an awesome sniper rifle. And he just, you know, he's funny because like, back in the day, it was kind of a thing, but he has this like saying called he's, if you go over there and you talk to him and he says he's doing calibrations because he's like really good with guns or whatever. He's like calibrating the sniper rifles and stuff. It's really funny. But yeah, that's yeah. If I were to pick one character that's like the best one, it's Garrus. It's he's really cool.
Like, were there any other characters that kind of caught your heart in a sense?
I mean, a lot of them throughout the course of three games, you know, you really get to like these characters. But you know, there's this other race called the Krogan, and they're like these big lizard people. And they're like really strong and they're like tanks pretty much. And they just could go around shooting people with shotguns. So there's two separate Krogans that you party with over the course of three games. And their names are Ur-Nott Rex and this other one called Grunt. And they're both just a hoot. They both like, you know, they both, you know, they just say random crazy things and they're just like, they always want to fight and they always are just like headbutting with everyone. They're just larger than life, and it's great to have, you know, you Ur-Nott Rex and Garrus Vakarian in a party, and that's just like the best one. And it's so fun.
How are the environments in the game? The planets, you say you visit different planets. How?
The first one is pretty infamous because like they tried something that they I don't like it was very ambitious. So when you go exploring planets, you get like this rover, like a Mars rover type thing that you are in. It's called the Mako. And you literally are like driving around trying to explore these different planets or whatever. A lot of people hated it because it was really hard to pilot. It was pretty like hard to turn and
Was it the
control.
controls? Oh, okay, yeah.
Well, yeah, the controls were pretty bad, but like you had to like, you know, get through some specific areas and navigate through, and it was kind of hard to get through there without having some issues. But like, so like the environments themselves, they're kind of samey going back, looking back. Like, 'cause I spent a good amount of time when I was doing the Legendary Edition, going through a lot of these different things and really exploring. And you know, it's kind of like a different hue on these planets, some of them. You know, a lot of them are kind of like the same. I mean, when back, you know, 2007 when I first played it, still it felt much, much different.
And what's the dialogue like between the characters? Do they like make jokes? You know, like
And
I can imagine it's pretty deep.
so it is. And that's another thing where I don't know if other BioWare games did the same, but like they had dialogue trees. You know, whenever you're talking to different characters. But in Mass Effect, you can choose different things to talk about. So you have like, you know, it's all about like a scale, good versus bad or whatever. But like you have these things in way of talking in Mass Effect that it's called the Paragon, which is like quote unquote good, and then Renegade, which is quote unquote bad. So like if you don't like a character, or you don't like somebody who talking to, you can like intimidate them by going with the renegade choice. So you have like a bunch of different ways of making these conversations go and learning about these other characters or whatever. And a lot of these characters, like if you're in between missions, you can go talk to your squad mates and learn about them and go deep into their like backstories just by talking to them. And that's how you kind of learn about the world you're in and learning about the lore and stuff like that. So it's very deep in the way they do it. It's not just like, you know, text. You know, a lot of like some games will do like, you know, you have to just go find little pieces and snippets of like text and stuff and learn about it that way. But yeah, a lot of this is like learning through dialogue, and it's pretty cool.
Yeah, I have to ask too, because they have to do so many voiceovers probably.
Oh yeah.
Like all the lines and stuff.
Oh yeah, absolutely. There's a lot of dialogue, and I'm sure, and I'm pretty positive everyone's a different actor.
I want to ask, going off of that stuff too, because back when you played it, this must have been like overwhelming to have, because here's the thing, you started off with your gaming, it's funny, being spotty, but then you get into this game where it gives you so much.
Yes.
You know, so that's kind of crazy.
Yeah, and I definitely, when I first played it, I didn't really know I had to do all these extra things. I saw there was like on the menu, it says priority. So you think priority, you do that first.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so I just kind of, you know, mainlined it without any like thinking about it, because I didn't really know like to side quest and do all this other stuff, because I hadn't really done that before with such a massive scale. And so like, yeah, I definitely didn't have like the best. It really hit harder when I had to make decisions that sacrificed teammates or whatever, which does happen if you don't do like the right things before. And so it was overwhelming, but like I didn't think about, you know, it actually being so heavy.
And so deep.
And there being so much layers to the game. And I never really experienced anything like that before.
Probably the only games I've played like this, because I haven't played a lot of them, was probably the Fallout games. But even that, I don't think compares to the depth that was Mass Effect.
I personally, I like the battle systems of Fallout, but I've never really gotten into a Fallout game.
Yeah. But, you know, because Fallout, like the classic ones, was like a battle system. And then like the more recent ones, they were third person, kind of like the way Mass Effect is over the sold out, you know, and interacting with characters and stuff. But yeah, nothing like Mass Effect.
Mass Effect, and that's like a lot of people hold that as, you know, some of the best games ever. And I don't think BioWare ever since has come close to hitting that peak of the original Mass Effect trilogy.
How is the battle systems in like throughout the game?
It's weird because like each game is kind of different. So the first game is, I mean, it's honestly, you mentioned Fallout. It's kind of Fallout like, where you have a gun, and you have choices of different guns, I think, based on what a class you are, because there's multiple different classes, and it's all based on like, you know, you have an energy blast, or you can like hack stuff or whatever. Whatever gun you can choose is based on those. It's been a while since I played the first one. But like your real power moves are if you chose like the energy blast, and you can use multiple different ways of using that. And so you can kind of pause the game, like by hitting one of the buttons and choose what you want, kind of like RPG style, like in it's kind of like, you know, the VAT system in Fallout, where you can kind of pause the game and choose, okay, so I want my teammate over here to hit that person with this, my teammate over here to hit that person with that, and I want to hit person right in front of me with this move, and you can kind of do that. So, and you know, you can, you know, shoot people with your gun and whatever. And then the second game is kind of more along the lines of a action role RPG, where you can still do the pausing, but it's now got, you have, I think I want to say two or three hotkeys, where you can choose different attacks or whatever to just hit the button, and you'll just automatically do it.
And it
allows you to now, it doesn't like select different class based on guns or whatever, so you can have whatever gun you want. And then in the third game, it goes even more, it's much more of like a slick shooter with a few other powers. So they kind of went from RPG to action game with little RPG elements. The second game is the best like blend
of the two, and the third game is a little the same.
The third game is similar to the second one, but it's a little more actiony, because it, you know, over the course of the three games, you're progressively getting more into the war, against the Reapers. In the third game, the Reapers are here.
Yeah.
And you're pretty much fighting constantly. It's just constant fighting for a lot of the game. And so I feel like the developers probably went with that for that style choice. That would be my guess. But of my opinion, you know, the best game and system just overall is the second one.
And I think they probably, the developers probably went with the times as to when they were released. You know, earlier we were just starting to get into the fast paced stuff. There wasn't really a lot of stuff out there yet that was too fast, but then as the years went by, they just adjusted accordingly.
Yeah, I think that was like, yeah, right, 2012, 2013, there was a lot of like action RPGs popular and stuff. So they probably just went with that.
Which, I mean, ended up working out anyways.
Absolutely.
All right, let's go a little deeper. You said something about humans trying to fit in. Can you elaborate on that? Like, how were the humans trying to, you know?
All right, let's get deep into this. All right.
Roll up your sleeves.
Humanity has discovered this, you know, interstellar travel thing called the mass relay. And they've discovered this government system of a bunch of different species in this like floating city in the middle of the Milky Way called the Citadel. And so now there's like a few races pretty much control a lot of the things that happen throughout the galaxy. Mm-hmm. And they kind of work together and they kind of don't. They look down on humanity because humanity is young as like a species and like evolution. Because we're talking like 50, like they've evolved over the course of, you know, thousands and thousands of years. And they're a lot older than humans. So, and that's kind of like one of the things of Mass Effect is like different races and different species look down on each other based on like, oh, we don't like this person. They're younger and we don't really like them. And a lot of these races and species, they disagree a lot and they don't, some of them just outright are straight racist and they hate just who a species is just for who they are. And sometimes it even goes deeper than that. Humans in general are, you know, young and brash. Yeah, and that's not even that inaccurate as now. You know, and so it's like, and they look down on us because we're so young and inexperienced. And that's kind of like, it goes onto the role of shepherd. And
damn, the weight of humanity on one person.
And that's not even a line. That's in the first game, one of the big parts is on the Citadel. In the government, there's like these three people. They're like the counselors and they make all the decisions. They're like the main government pretty much. Mm-hmm. And they have like these agents. They're pretty much above the law. And what happens is in the game is Commander Shepard becomes one of these agents. And it's like the biggest deal ever because human has ever really been one.
Yeah.
And so that's like a big deal. And they use, and Shepard now uses that power to go after one of the main antagonists, who is actually a former one of those agents. They're called Spectres.
Look at that. Okay.
Throughout the course, that's like a big theme, overhanging theme of Shepard and humanity kind of growing up.
How do they deal with it, and how did it make you feel?
It's kind of funny because, like, there's one of these characters, one of your character teammates. She kind of looks down on other species, so it kind of goes back and forth. They, you know, it's all about like everyone working together.
Yeah,
and that's kind of Shepard's thing is, well, yeah, you guys look down on us, but that's I'm looking past that.
Yeah,
I'm looking past all of these, you looking different than me. We have a whole other issue coming and we're trying to
prevent it.
Exactly. And guys is squabbling and fighting and not, and looking down on us and, you know, making us work harder than we should have to. Mm-hmm. And so the first game, it's really fighting against that. And you're trying to, you know, prove yourself. And then the next two games, you know, humanity is kind of on an equal level because at without spoiling anything, at the end of the first game, it's possible for there to be needing another counselor, we'll say. Mm-hmm. And one of the humans, one of your like former bosses or something, I forget what he is, he becomes one of the human counselors. So you kind of have humanity kind of has some say in the world.
Ooh,
Yeah. So you kind of get up into that level, but then kind of start getting into, there's this rogue organization in the second game, mm-hmm. that comes in and starts being pretty much zealots for humanity or nothing. That organization, that they're called Cerberus. Their mentality is pretty much, you know, we're going to do anything to make humans the dominant species in the world. So it kind of gets into like, you know, again, back to the overhanging thing of let's just work together and stop being racist towards each other.
And getting into the idea of good and evil, is that how some of the themes are dealt with? Because I know like humans have their own missions, right? And then you have all the other species with their own ideas and their own morals. And so how does the concept of good and evil get addressed throughout the games?
Going back to the first game, because it really sets the table for how the rest of the series goes. Mm. In the first game, the main bad guy, his name is Saren. He's that former Spectre that is like the special agents for like the government.
Yeah.
And you're pretty much, you know, going through trying to stop him for what he's doing. And what he's trying to do is he's trying to pretty much open a portal for the Reapers to come through. But so like you think that's pretty much white. He's a bad guy. Reapers are bad.
Yeah.
Cool. It was different than that. When you dig deeper, you find out that he's actually being controlled.
Oh, okay.
As you're going on, you kind of get little glimpses of stuff. Yeah. Yeah. As you go on. Yeah. That's a little bit of a spoiler, but like, you know, as you go on, you get, it's kind of stuff like that where even the big bad guys, and this is like Mass Effect 3 big stuff, like you realize that there's more to them than just they're coming to murder us all. And it's kind of stuff like that where they do such a good job of writing these, you know, storylines, mm. where on the face value, yeah, you're going through and you see that these people, you know, you don't want that to happen. You don't want life to, you know, cease to exist. Yeah. But as you're going through, you kind of gives them reason. You understand why they're doing things. And it makes sense. You still just don't want it to happen.
Wait, even the Reapers have their own reasons as to why they do it.
Yep. Yep.
Oh, Jesus.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. Yep. Yeah. And that's what I'm saying. Like, if from a perspective, that's evil. But from a different perspective, and it really kind of opens up the eyes to, it's all about perspective.
Yeah.
And you know, when you're going through these games, like you're introduced to races, and some of these races don't like these other people, and your goal is to get them to work together. So you got to find common ground there. So you got to play like politics for a lot of these different races and stuff. And you got to tell these people, hey, it's bigger than your fight.
Yeah.
You got to work together. And just because you think it's this way and you think it's that way, it's all about perspective.
Absolutely.
And it's all about perspective. And it's a real good, like for today, like even if I didn't even really think about it back then when I was playing in 2007 or whatever, till like I was really like doing this big, long 200-hour playthrough through the Legendary Edition. Well, I was really like, this game is so much deeper than I had really thought back then. And most definitely my favorite game series of all time, but it just went so far beyond that.
Oh, shit, and man.
There's just so much in each of these games where like you really can appreciate how they wrote all these different storylines.
And how they took out the time to write all this stuff.
Yep, and made everything make sense and just, you know, make a big theme and make it bigger than just a game. You know,
just
you can take from that. It's not just a game, it's you. You can really just kind of, you know, take a lot from it. Let's work together. You know, I see things one way, you see things another. Let's find some common ground.
Yeah, and maybe even like establish something that's even better than what we thought.
Exactly.
You know, I want to comment. I want to say two of those things from that point, because it really hits home to not only video games, but also life in general. So I want to start off with video games, obviously, but video games are more than just what it is on face value. Obviously, you have like your Marios, your Sonics, your, you know, like little time killing, little, you know, but then you have some games, you have some stories, these characters that have real depth to them. And
absolutely,
you can't ignore this stuff. And video games used to get a little bit of a bad rep.
Yeah.
It's more accepted, and you get to talk about these things. And I am so glad, because that's one of the reasons why we do the things we do, and we do this podcast as well, is to bring to light a lot of these stories, a lot of these things that video games have. Because video games, man, they're, I always used to say this with my friends, but video games are life.
Like, absolutely. Know? They're some of the best medium storytelling you can have right anymore.
Yeah.
You can really get some amazing stories coming through there, and it's awesome. I love it.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I'm, you know, a lot of people can vouch for it too. And then the other point I wanted to make is that, yeah, you know, everybody should go play Mass Effect. Now, you know, absolutely. Maybe the world would be a better place
play.
If everybody played Mass Effect, because it sounds like a really good game about perspective, a whole series, you know, just about being a better person. Yeah.
Absolutely.
All the fighting, all this, there's so much that's bigger than us. Like, our problems is that it's not just face value, like you were saying. We have a lot of stuff in our own planet right here today, you know, like global warming or the pandemic or stuff like that. And like, people are arguing over the silliest things. You get on social media 100%. And you know, you
100%.
You hear about famous rapper or singer doing this and stuff, but what about the other stuff? You know? Yeah. And it just goes to show, we definitely have to grow as humans.
Absolutely. We need to grow up as a humanity, you know?
Exactly. You know, so it's no wonder these aliens probably haven't even come down to Earth yet.
Yeah, you're right, yeah.
You know, they're probably, yo, these guys are...
It's 2150, whatever, and they're like, hey, these people haven't learned a thing.
Exactly, you know? I really like that you're bringing up these topics, because they're too big. They're too big to ignore.
In 2007, I was too young to really understand all of this stuff. And it's like I said, it just really hit home doing this in the last, like, you know, year when this came out. And it just really hits home when you're just saying, like, let's work together.
Yeah. We're always growing, right? So when the game yep. came out, you know, you were a lot younger. You didn't know throughout the years. And it's fine, because you know, you revisited the game, which I highly recommend a lot of people, that if you haven't played this game, or if you're missing out on games that you haven't played and you want to get into, by all means, give them a shot, or maybe go do something that you've been wanting to do, because we all need to grow. You know, we can't stay stagnant. We can't keep playing and doing the same things over and over. And it's funny that you mentioned the growth, because, you know, all those years later, you're playing the game again, and you realize, wow, like, look at all this stuff.
I didn't really understand it back then as to why it hooked into me so much. But like, I really, really love games with, in stories in general, with that overhanging, like, you know, a lot of stories have like themes and stuff, but like things that are deep. I like things that are deep, make you think.
Yeah.
And characters and different things and working together, like, think that stuff makes you think. And that's like some of my favorite stuff in all of media.
What do you think some of the things that you learned from the Mass Effect series? Like, can you pinpoint a couple of them?
Most of the time when you're making decisions, it's you know, like I said before, it's, you know, Paragon or Renegade, and, you know, good or bad. And while they say I say bad, it's not really bad. It's just kind of like, you don't really give a fuck when you go Renegade. And it's, you know, some of the dialogue choices when you go Renegade are really funny, but most of the stuff I went was Paragon, because you're trying to, when you go Paragon, you're trying to work together. And that's kind mm-hmm. of, I always wanted to be the good guy. And that's kind of like in a lot of games, like I see some people, like, you know, they always want to go with the bad route. that's not me. I can't let people down or or be mean to people. And like, some of the things that I would say if I would accidentally hit Renegade, or like if there was somebody, because there's a lot of different dialogue choices whenever you're going through these games, And one of these options I didn't really like, so I went with the Renegade option, and I was like, oh, that was too mean. Oh, I didn't like that.
Like, I wouldn't say that.
I wouldn't actually say that, but and so it's too late. And so it's like, I really wanted to be the good guy, and I wanted to make sure everyone worked together and try to get the best outcome possible. So if I learned anything, it's like, I always wanted to be the good guy in a lot of these dialogue choices.
I like it, man. You have a good heart. You say.
I definitely try.
Yeah. But it also, you know, it goes to show with these games, we always have a choice. We always have a choice as how we address people, how we go about situations in life. And they affect you. They affect your friends, your relationships, like in these games, right? So if you make a choice in Mass Effect 1, you might lose out on one of your friends a couple years
Absolutely. Later. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, you could lose friends off of opinions, off of things that you say. Is there any other points or something like that you wanted to bring up? Obviously, you probably recommend this game to anybody.
Oh, absolutely. And if it obviously, like, not everybody is going to like everything like I do, or like this as much as I do. It speaks to me because I love, you know, things with, you know, a lot of deep games. I like a lot of deep things, period, with a lot of themes. Yeah. And I love character, like a lot of big cast of characters. That's why I'm big into like RPGs and stuff, because I like games, like big sprawling games that I can just jump into. Yeah, so, but at the very least, grab the Legendary Edition. It's, you know, it's the best version of all three of these games. Yeah, it's just great. I just love them.
And I have two more questions. Number one, did you play Andromeda?
I did play Andromeda. I have, well, let's put it this way. I have attempted to play Andromeda probably 3 times. Honestly, you want to talk about battle systems. Andromeda probably has the best battle system of all of the games.
Oh, really?
Not even kidding. It's so smooth. You know, I think it came out 2016, 2017, something like that.
Yeah.
And they just had a lot of time to perfect it and the power of the PS4 or whatever. It's very smooth. The battling is great. I love that. That's not it. The issues were, I've been told actually to go back to it. A lot of people who I respect in gaming has said Andromeda, supposedly they've done a lot to it and it's very smooth now. Because when it first came out, it was buggy.
Yeah.
And bugs don't really bother me. For me, it's more like the story, and the story just didn't hook me.
That's what I was going to ask too. When do you think it fell short the most?
I think it's more along the lines of story. It just feels kind of, because the whole Andromeda, the hook on that game is that you're traveling to, it's like, I want to say 400, 500 years, something like that, after third Mass Effect game.
Yeah.
So we're real far into it, and like there's like a group that has banded together and traveled, I want to say like 50 years to the Andromeda galaxy. So the premise is great. That sounds awesome. But it feels kind of the exact same thing as Mass Effect 1, just in a different galaxy. And there's not a lot of differences, and it kind of just feels like more Mass Effect, which, you know, that's great, but, you know, you're in a whole different galaxy. And everyone kind of looks the same still. Like, in my opinion, you could have gotten a little more creative with that, but I didn't really like a lot of the characters, so it just never really hooked me. But I've definitely thought about going back to it.
Yeah, because I mean, you got this whole big galaxy. I'm sure you kind of came up with something else.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I would be disappointed too. I've heard there's been so many memes about this game, so many like of the bugs and the glitches.
It was pretty bad. It was pretty bad.
Any last words you want to say about the series, or stuff that you've learned from the game, or if you want to shout out your website, any place that people can find you, please feel free.
Yeah, sure. I have a blog website. It's about professional wrestling, and like you said it before, it's going to be, you know, I'm going to add in slowly, because I've never done anything like this before, with game reviews and gaming and stuff like that, and maybe down the line a Twitch channel. It's called Game Over Gimmicks. Twitter is at game_gimmicks. I just do my favorite Pro Wrestling is All Elite Wrestling, and there's a couple other companies that I follow too, and I'll write a little bit of stuff about that, but it just really getting the kinks out right now and writing reviews on some of the stuff going on in wrestling and a couple opinion pieces here and there, and just like a blog. And yeah, play Mass Effect.
It's a movie. Yeah, check out his website too. I checked it out. It's pretty awesome. You know, I just want to say one last time, you know, thank you. I really appreciate your time. Putting out all this information about Mass Effect, I hope it touches on people. If you ever play Mass Effect, you want to play Mass Effect, hope we inspire you to play it. I hope we brought back some memories. I've heard you learned a couple things about Mass Effect, because I think we could all use some working together nowadays in this world and really hone in on perspective and how you live your life and all this stuff. And as always, guys, you want to be a part of Infinite Lives and Games, you can DM me, you can FaceTime me, message me. It's Infinite Lives and Games across all the social media platforms except the Twitch, which is twitch.tv/SethInfinite. I've been streaming more often there, currently playing some Crash 4, 100%ing the Time Relics. It's been a nightmare, but I need some support. So if you guys want to come by and help me, you cheer me on, you know. And yeah, we stream a lot of stuff. I want to be streaming some Overwatch and a couple other things. But yeah, and as always, guys, I want you guys to stay healthy, stay safe, and of course, stay infinite.